All right. Welcome, everyone. Good morning or good evening, depending on time zone. You are here for the presentation about CryptPad. Adrian is already here. Aaron, we hope he will arrive soon. He's just right now at the main station. So for the other half of the presentation, we hope he will arrive. So let's just start. Please have a small applause for Adrian.
Thank you. So yeah, Aaron and I were talking about CryptPad. Talk is called CryptPad Practice and Theory. So I will start with the first part about of the pirate pad. Then I will ending of an era. Then getting started with CryptPad, where I describe how I getting to know the CryptPad and how I start to work with it. And then I will talk a bit about migration strategies. So yeah, who am I? I'm Adrian, computer science student here in Karlsruhe. I'm part of the Pirate Party of Germany, deputy chairman for the Pirate Party Baden-Württemberg. I'm one of the core administrators for the Bundes-IT, who run the whole infrastructure needed by the complete party. And I'm kind of the lead of the LVBW IT, so the IT of the Pirate Party Baden-Württemberg. Then, yeah, I've been like 7 years administrator in my school in Lower Saxony, where I come from originally. I'm interested in systems engineering. My political focus is on digitalization and education. And I've been administrating stuff since I can think, I guess. So, yeah. Then getting started on the Pirate Pad. The Pirate Pad is one of the world's largest Etherpad and Etherpad Pro instances. We have like a 350 gigabyte MySQL database in the background of this PiratePad running. So the link is PiratePad, also piratenpad.de. We have over 65 registered users currently at, that wasn't intended, currently over 65,000 registered users at our Etherpad Pro. So Etherpad Pro is like a team solution for where you get a team and put pads in there. So yeah, pads, like text documents where you can edit with multiple persons decentralized on. We have a total of 100, there was a total of over 100,000 users registered on this Etherpad Pro. But some accounts of our, most of the accounts were deleted. These users are organized into that's the current number in 24,064 teams, which is a huge number. We have a total of you see the numbers there. They're just a half hour old. So 485,000 light pads and 328,000 pro pads, which is really one of the largest instances. And also the devs of the Etherpad Pro, which is discontinued, or the devs of the Etherpad Lite said already that we are crazy to still maintain and run this with the thing because it's so a high workload on our infrastructure. So yeah, ending of an era, talking about a high workload on our infrastructure. The whole infrastructure is very expensive for us running these pads. We have a MySQL cluster with two nodes running the stuff for redundancy, backups. The database dies regularly because how the Etherpad stores data is putting every keystroke the user makes inside a JSON file, and then like putting a batch of 70 key presses inside one JSON array and put it as one row inside our database. So if you have hundreds of users working on the same time on different pads, it just puts data into the database all the time, and we have sometimes, or like twice a week, if the database dies, we have about 200 megabytes of MySQL backlog we have just to delete because we can't apply them. So yeah, like I mentioned before, the Etherpad Pro is discontinued for some years now, and we, with our infrastructure, we cannot upgrade the Etherpad Lite. Etherpad Lite is actively developed, but we are running a pretty old version, and we can't update that because we have some custom changes to the Etherpad stuff, and it doesn't fit in. We have to run old software versions, and yeah, the whole system is like a mess, and a field of patches. Our Nginx config looks horribly because we have to block links which can be used to exploit or download even the whole database. So it's really a mess, and we are very unhappy to have this stuff still running. That was, yeah. The shutdown of the Pirate Pad is on the 16th of June. So in like a bit more than 2 weeks, I have the honor to just say shut down and it's finished. Yeah, we are searching. We started the whole Pirate Pad stuff for our IT infrastructure, or generally for the party, so we can work together on press statements, work together on the party program and stuff. So it was mainly, it was started at that, but it developed as a free instance. You don't have to log in. You can just type stuff in. We had already the police confiscating our servers because people put stuff in there that didn't belong normally there. So yeah. So we searched for a software which is actively developed and which will not soon be discontinued like Etherpad Pro is. We have the need for real-time collaboration, but this real-time collaboration, you can say, oh, just have only Office, or oh, just have Nextcloud, or just have like Google Docs, but we need low cost on operation, and it should be data protection friendly. So maybe if something illegal is stored onto the whole Etherpad stuff or on the pad stuff, we can just say we don't know what's on our servers, so you can't take them away. And one huge problem of our Pirate Pad is that the 350 gigabytes of database and like 20 or 30 gigabytes of logs we have around just from the last week. So we want to use the pads as a short-term use. So you create a pad, work on something together, and then afterwards export it to like our wiki or export it to our Redmine, which we use for tracking protocols So just for short-term use. So the ability to simply delete files or pads from the server. With the JSON stuff hanging around in the database with the etherpads, we have like timestamps when changes were made, but because the changes were just put in together on one table row and merged, so it isn't practical to delete old pads because the risk is too high that something can break. And one problem we have, we have a syncing account of membership, and with that, some of our administrators we had, like for the mail service, just died or overworked. One or two actually died because of the stress and stuff. But also our administrator, we are currently like one person working for the party is employed, and like me and another one, another guy called Loki, currently the core administrators, and then persons from one database specialist who does stuff for now and then. So yeah, easy to administrate, and the possibility for like a new person just, here you have the crypt pad, so maintain it, and it's not a much, not a lot of work. So yeah. We thought about a lot of collaboration tools, and we had really a big discussion also inside the party. Hi, Aaron. We just...
Is there some definition of short-term use?
The question was if there is a definition of short-term use. Definition of short-term use is really work on something, and after that, if there's not, like we defined for us, 30 days after the last edit, we think a pad is not worked on, so we plan to delete it in the future. But it's currently not implemented, but CryptPad has the possibility to do that. So yeah, because of the data protection stuff, we chose CryptPad to use. Just come to the front, Aaron. we chose CryptPad, and it has some other advances for us, which we discovered more lately after we installed it. When we got started, I was fresh in the IT administration team. Was like a half year ago. On the end of November, it was, hey, we want to run CryptPad, so that's your job. Just do it. And we talked about that a lot and planned stuff. And we had, we had some points we wanted to have. So customization for our instance with our custom logo on it, with our custom color scheme and stuff like that. But also transparency. We as the Pirate Party live transparency as every session where we chairmen talk about stuff. The most part of it is publicly available. So for that, we already also said that's infrastructure. We want to make it public so everyone can see how we work and what we customized. But we have also problem is we have encapsulated infrastructure. So how it's done. And it's not just open FTP, go on the server, put the files on, and you're ready. But you really have to operate completely on the server via SSH and VPN and stuff. And we plan for the future to have similar deployments, but with little config changes. So we have currently we have two instances running, one for like the normal party members or the public instance, and one for our chairman of the Pirate Party of Germany, and which have custom settings with other pet types available and other storage limit and things like that. So, I chose on that time to get with Git. The CryptPad stuff is inside the Git repository, and I said, just fork it, put our custom changes inside Git, and Git keeps track of everything, and it works. Till now, it works very, very well. So, like Friday, I debugged stuff, and Git helped me a lot to find a bug I put in because of our customizations. So yeah, deployment and updates. Deployment is as easy as install Node.js, install npm, install Bower, then install, in our case, install Nginx for putting the certificates around and adding some other stuff which might be helpful for the future. and just git first time setup, git clone, add the systemd config file, and you're good to go. Update process is as easy as git fetch, git checkout. The specific branch for me is pipet underscore version number, and then git pull and restart cryptpet, and update is made. I prepare the updates on my PC at home, put it onto git, and then just check out and pull and update made. One huge problem we had in our party was, oh no, you shut down the crypt at etherpads, but we don't. Well, we want to use keep using it, and now it's horrible and it's strange, and we have stuff. So yeah, the one thing is etherpad teams. Like, we have one team for the press of the whole party. We have one team for the public relationship of the whole party. We have one team for the press of Baden-Württemberg. We have many teams around, and it's easy to, because of the right management, you have a team, say, these persons are allowed to or may get into the team and see all pads. You don't have to share passwords and stuff like that. With CryptPad, CryptPad has shared folders, so you just create a shared folder, share that link to the persons who may enter this team, and it's fine. Then speaking links, we don't have stuff like speaking links. So it's like speaking link. Yeah, we don't have this with CryptPad because there's a key transmitted in the URL. So we don't have that, but currently we're creating like a short link service for pads that should be publicly available to use, or which change regularly, like the protocols of the chairman sessions where we talk about stuff, which is every 2 weeks. And currently it's opening our WordPress, current link to the protocol, change it, and yeah, but with that, with the short link stuff, it will be possible to have like a speaking link for persons. We say they may use it, and without breaking the security and privacy aspects of CryptPad. And then automatic exports. We have currently some guys around the etherpad has like an API or an export feature with a link where you can get the content of the pad as a text file. And we have guys around which do, if the protocol is finished, open the script, enter the link, and it's put on the forum, on the wiki, and everywhere published. We don't have the possibility to do that currently, but Aaron will talk about that later on. Then for the migration strategies for the content, we had persons asking us, if I change to the CryptPad, how is it? Yeah, I want to keep stuff. Yeah, we said we want to use the CryptPad as a tool to just work on it and delete it afterwards. But for the stuff which is currently working on, like, I know that our press really likes our etherpad, and I think they will just change on or just say, yeah, please re-enable the PiratePad, we want to export stuff. I guess. But it's just for the stuff you're currently working on, download it from the etherpad and import it into the CryptPad. CryptPad has the possibility to do so, and So part two. So that's yours, Aaron.
I'm glad I actually made it here in time. I don't know if you told the story. Yeah, I missed a train this morning, and so I just arrived here. Yeah, so...
You have the slides down below. On the right, you have the slides
as well. Okay, cool. Yeah. That helps. Okay, so normally I'm a little bit nervous to talk in front of everybody, but today I was just nervous about arriving on time. So now I guess I can relax now that I'm actually here. I guess I want to not focus too much on the technical aspects and mostly talk about why we work on CryptPad, who we are. I guess it's on the slides. Who we are, the development team, why we want to do this, where our funding comes from, because I think that's super important for cryptography projects to talk about. Because if you're not selling people's data, then either you don't make money and the project dies, or you rely on volunteer work. And I guess Etherpad was hoping to do that model for a long time, and well, they're gone now, right? So, at least for the Pirate Party. Then getting into our upcoming features. So who am I? I'm Aaron McSween. I'm known online as Ansos. I'm from Canada, and I moved to France to work on CryptPad. Basically, I think of myself as a privacy engineer, which is kind of a newish term. And basically, the idea is a database engineer optimizes for data, fast databases, and a privacy engineer optimizes for privacy. And a part of that is getting to know the community and what they expect. So if you just look at the content and encrypt it, maybe people are expecting to hide the metadata as well, and maybe they don't. You can do different techniques, and maybe they'll be really expensive and so slow that you can't actually deploy it in practice. So knowing the audience is a big part of what we do. So I said I moved here from Canada, and I moved here to work for a company called XWiki SAS, based in Paris, France. And basically what XWiki does is knowledge management. It's a big Java platform that has extensions, and it's used by, big and small companies to handle their information. Amazon uses it internally for their knowledge management solution. So that's all open source, and basically the company has been in business for 15 years doing knowledge management, but caring about giving back to the ecosystem. It's not really this audience, I guess. So I'm not going to try and pitch XWiki, but basically we care about open source and sustainability because we've been in business for 15 years. We've never accepted venture capital or anything like that. So it's all basically client projects, sponsored development, and that sort of thing. So my role is the project lead. I started, December 2015, and I was just a lowly developer at the time, and the guy who started the project, Caleb Delisle, he left the company last August, and I stepped in to lead things. And right now, we're a two-person development team, so I'm doing crypto and server-side stuff, and my colleague Jan is doing most of the client-side stuff, which is actually the bigger part of the job. And I'll get into that maybe. Why am I motivated to work on this sort of stuff? Basically, I got interested in cryptography and decentralized technologies and things like that. With the Arab Spring, when the government went and shut off the internet in Egypt and other places, and I really wanted to know why is it that somebody can flip a switch and basically turn off a society? And CryptPad is still centralized, so I can flip a switch and turn CryptPad off for everybody, but I think we need to do the the basic steps of getting the platform right, and then once we know how to make it usable and people want it, then we can do better steps to make it decentralized and federated, things like that, which is, as it turns out, really hard, but I think doable. We can work towards it. So I'm part of the crowd that says crypto means cryptography and not cryptocurrency. If my point of view is that if I can make this my full-time job and get paid to do it, then I can work full-time building stuff that I believe in. And I think I'm more effective that way if I'm not worried about where is my next paycheck coming from, like how am I going to live. I can have a basic level of security, and then I can focus on building stuff that I think should exist. So XWiki, I went over it a bit already, but yeah, we have a branch in Romania as well. It's about 40 people. Yeah, I'm a little flustered, so I did all this out of order, I guess. Totally out of order. There we go. Okay, so why does XWiki want to work on CryptPad? Why are they making it happen? So we got our first bit of funding as a part of a French research project called OpenPass NG, and basically we were responsible for building real-time editors. And that was the French government wanted it because they're worried that all of their information is going towards the American cloud, basically. And XWiki wanted it because it makes us competitive. So if you look at our competitors, which is like Confluence and I guess some other people, they're all doing real-time stuff. We wanted to do it in basically a peer-to-peer way because then you scale better. So by doing most of the work on the client and not on the server, as Etherpad does, you can support a lot more users. So as it turns out, cryptography is basically the easy part. So if you have a peer-to-peer algorithm, like that's pretty tough, but then you just need to put a layer of encryption before you send the message to anyone else, and a layer of decryption before you receive it, and then you basically have an encrypted editor, which is pretty neat. And XWiki likes this because I go and I talk to a very different audience than they would normally talk to, and that's good PR. So that's how we basically turn research into something that's good for the company. And our business model is, I just want CryptPad to keep going. It's okay with me if we sort of break even. So we just want to pay salaries and keep the work advancing. So we rely on French and EU funding. We just received some big grants, a big grant, and we're hoping on another one. And we do subscriptions and donations to cover the rest. So basically, we treat it like a public good, and we try to respect our audience, our users, and listen to their needs, and make it so that everybody wants the project to keep going. Right now, as I said, we're two people, and we can't really hire if we don't have a little visibility into the future, because we hire somebody and then we'll just have to let them go. So we're staying at two, but if we can get more grants, then that lets us expand and do more things. So basically, my goal is to raise everybody's expectations on privacy, and when I said about the Arab Spring, why is it possible that somebody can flip a switch and all these people are disconnected? I would like that everybody sees something like Google Docs and says, okay, why is it that they can read my documents? Why is that okay? And even if it's not CryptPad, that is the product that is eventually adopted and kills Google Docs, as I hope happens. I just want it to exist so that I can have it, because I don't like Google. And as the slide says, make life difficult for surveillance capitalists. So if all the people that are making lots of money by spying on people, I think they should be, I don't want to say homeless, but I don't know. They should lose their current jobs, maybe, and work on privacy. So where we are now. I said I didn't want to do this too technical, but basically CryptPad is just there's the server, which receives messages from people and forwards them. So it's not unlike an IRC server. You join a channel, you send a message, and everybody who cares about that content receives it. The server doesn't care about the encryption. It just sends messages, and it's the client's responsibility to encrypt it and decrypt it. The database is just append-only logs, so every time a message comes in, it just gets written down. And again, this simplifies the server's role. It makes us scale a whole lot better. The client has a consensus layer, which is what allows you to edit in real time, and two people can make changes at once, and it resolves itself, in theory. Every now and then we have some bugs, but it settles down eventually. And yeah, the result is basically a thick client setup where all of the logic is done in the browser, almost all the logic. So applications, maybe, who here actually knows CryptPad already? Okay, yeah, so almost everybody, I don't know. Yeah, I missed some hands maybe, but yeah, so I'll skip past this. We do a lot of different apps, and it's all basically we take an open source client, something like CK Editor for our rich text editor, and we just bind it to our real-time consensus system. So we capitalize a lot off of existing open source libraries, and maybe capitalize isn't the right word, but we benefit from it, and it lets us focus on building the privacy parts. These are the mature enhancements that we've built so far. I would consider them mature because, yeah, very few of the bugs that we fix are related to this. So CryptDrive, which is basically, it's a document itself, so you can edit pads in real time, and all your user information is just a different kind of document rendered in a special way. And that, yeah, that was kind of the easiest way to implement accounts. We use Scrypt, which it takes a password and it derives your keys, which lets you unlock your drive. And that's, again, pretty simple. We did some fixes to it recently, which lets you change your password, because before it would just, your password was fixed at what it was. So that was a bit tricky, but yeah, you have public keys, which act as your identity. So when you log in, the server, this confuses a lot of people, but the server doesn't actually know your username or your password. It sees your keys. So every now and then somebody forgets their password and emails us and asks us to recover their account, and they say that, here's my username, and I have the very difficult job of writing them an email explaining that, no, their data is gone. I'm laughing about it now, but I think that's the hardest part of my job. Any sort of media, basically that's just images, videos. We do static uploads, so that's the main part of CryptPad that isn't real-time. And that's just we embed the keys and the location of a blob on the server into other documents, and it loads it up. And then, yeah, these basic server-side APIs for relaying messages, we just reused that for displaying cursors recently, and for chat, we've had that for a while, but it's all, the server-side stuff changes very, very rarely, and most of it is in the client. So these are little things that we've, like, people have asked for them over time. Expiration. Of course, with GDPR, you need to be able to delete people's data, which is tricky because if you don't know whose it is or what it is, knowing who should be able to delete it is kind of tricky. So we bind documents to a public key, and that, yeah, it's hard with old documents, but yeah, password protection is just we hash. Yeah, you need the password to get the actual location and encryption key, because you have a seed and you combine that with the password. And so the server is not protecting documents, which allows you to brute force it if you want to just guess passwords all day. But it adds an extra layer of security, so that if you're transferring a link over Facebook, as unfortunately many people do, they can see the seed and not, Facebook still won't have the password and thus the keys for the document. And shared folders, again, the same as the drive, that's is just a different kind of document, so with a special way to render it. So the hard part, as I said, people send their keys over Facebook or other things, and we can kind of see this in our refer logs. So we do watch some things. We see how people are using CryptPad, and it's mostly at the HTTP layer. So we see refers. We see generally what country people are coming from, unless they're using Tor. So use Tor. We try to support it. When you're transferring keys outside of the platform over a second band, it's tricky because you can't know who has access to a document. And so if you want to revoke access, one thing we could do is change the encryption keys, change the location, and message all the users the new location. But if you don't know who has been viewing it, you can't actually update that. So lack of oversight is really difficult. And as I said, people forget their passwords. So don't forget your password. We have 250 instances of CryptPad, public instances that we know of. And we could view this as competition, but this is why I think it's important to come and talk to all of you and explain my motivations, that I just want this stuff to exist. So if there's other instances, that means that if I decide to turn evil one day, I can't really, I can't sabotage the pirate party too much. Maybe I could put in a backdoor or something, but this is why it's good to have more eyes on the code, more people looking at it, and I hope you review the diffs, and especially maybe look at the crypto. I don't know. We added an admin panel to try to make Adrian's job easier and other people's. We'd like to expand that functionality, but right now it's very basic. We added, I call it encrypted mailboxes. It's not email. It's just the ability to leave a message for somebody, and it's encrypted, and it prevents anyone else from reading it. So that's just using some public key crypto and the existing append-only log system. This ties into a notification system, which is just UI, so people see when somebody has sent them a friend request or something like that. And on that note, better social integration. So friends and the ability to just send access through the system and not have to leave it and go to Facebook. When Facebook and Google do this, they do it as a means of better capturing revenue. And I don't care if you're using our instance or the Pirate Parties or whoever. I just don't send it over Facebook. So our immediate roadmap is basically going to be dedicated to making all of these problems simpler to solve. 10 minutes left? Okay, thank you. So mutable metadata will allow us to change who owns a document. As I said, there's an ownership system that lets you delete things, and right now you can't give a document to somebody else, and that's mostly it should be a pretty simple system to simple problem to solve, but it takes some work, especially to be backwards compatible. So the idea is, I guess, if you have a different chairman down the road for the Pirate Party, you should probably be able to hand over access to certain things to other people, so that if they you don't want them to delete the old documents. As I said, integrated key delivery, Teams as a first-class concept. So we started with this idea of the document is the central thing, and your user account is just a document. But we want to build around this social idea and delegated ownership. I already said that, going way out of order. As I said, we've applied for another research grant, and basically the point of this is to take all the interesting things in CryptPad and break them out into components that can be easily reused by other platforms. And basically the idea is to make it so that all of our work is not wasted, that it's not all bundled up in one monolithic platform. And it also it'll make it easier for us to modify the platform, I think, and also for the pirate party and others to customize their instance. If they want to just disable a module, maybe they just comment it out and it should just work in theory. That'll come along with desktop and mobile and command line applications, which, as Adrian said, there's no script to just get the documents. So that would be nice to have. And in theory, not that hard if we can just make it run outside of the browser. There's still some browser APIs we depend on. Office support, a bunch of stuff. Password recovery by breaking up your password and giving it to friends. There's very simple and old cryptography for doing that. And it's mostly, I think, a UI problem, which is not to say it's an easy one. But yeah. Most of you already know where it is, and there's the code. And yeah, I just want to thank NLNet, who recently gave us 50,000 euros to develop all this team stuff. C3 Vienna. Is that Ludo? Who's Ludo? Hello. They just donated 500 euros. Somebody else from a security company, I have their Twitter there, donated 500. And monthly contributors on our Open Collective, which is opencollective.com/cryptpad. There's some people giving 50 euros a month, and that adds up to basically the same amount that C3 is giving us, which is really cool. And that's how you can get involved. I don't think we need German translations, because you're all awesome at at keeping it up to date. But maybe Adrian wants the help. I don't know. And yeah, you can contact us. So if there's time left for questions.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. I'm very grateful that you intend to continue this service so I can still plan my birthday parties. Okay, we have 10 minutes left for questions. I see one. I'm coming over.
Yeah, we never know what people are using CryptPad for. So.
Yeah, right.
Birthday party planning. Cool.
Yeah. Hi, I'm also a member of the Pirate Party. I have three questions. The first one is the client-side performance. Mm-hmm. Even if CryptPad is idling, it's using a lot of CPU power, and the fan of my notebook turns on.
Okay.
Do you have any improvements coming there? And the other question is do you have any improvements coming for the colorful highlighting of the authors?
We talked about
and,
this yesterday.
And I asked other pirates if they also have some complaints, and they also mentioned the export function to get it into the wiki automatically, and do you have anything there to come? Adrian mentioned it when you weren't here yet that you would talk about that.
Right, so I have a terrible memory, so I'll try to keep those three questions in mind. I'll start with number two, the coloring. That's kind of an easy thing in Etherpad because the server knows everything and it can take the whole history and
then that's how it's done by the Etherpad. It's you have every keystroke and you have matched to the keystroke who did it, so it just getting all the keystrokes as if you open an Etherpad, it's getting all the database, getting the keystrokes, and reassemble the file, and with that, the Etherpad colorizes the stuff. So yeah.
So for CryptPad, we kind of need to do a parallel system of here's the thing that keeps track of the what the content is, and then you need a second system which keeps track of what parts of that content belong to whom. And we were talking about this yesterday. Basically, what is it required for? Do you need cryptographic proof of this person wrote this section? Or do you need it just for usability? It makes it easier to read. And depending on the use case, it can be very easy or very hard. But in either case, because the work is being done client-side, it can be significantly heavier for the client, which takes me to question one, which is performance. Or was that number three?
No, this was number one.
Okay, yeah. So I think I would need to see... I mean, my fan doesn't spin, so I would need to see why your fan is spinning, and then maybe I can answer that better. So yeah, maybe we can take a look at it. So question three, I forget. Yeah, I tried.
Export function.
Export, yeah. Maybe it's already there. Not from the command line, but if you go to your settings page, there's a way to export your full drive, and we could. I mean, that's. I guess not what you want, but we could make it able to export either a subset of the drive or a shared folder or something like that. And I guess the... Are you going to your settings? Yeah.
No, you have. Yeah, export, you have.
Oh, yeah, you can export the pad. But again, this is not from the command line. So that if we get this other research project that is all about breaking things down into parts, then it will be very easy to just use this stuff from the command line. Right now, we kind of built everything just to run in the browser, and that sucks. Yeah. But anyone else? Oh.
Hi. One question, as you are working with XWiki, so CryptPad is somehow integrated into XWiki, so you can just click on edit and then edit a wiki page?
It's
in CryptPad?
We have, so XWiki is extensible, and there's an extension which handles real-time stuff, and it's the same client-side code, but without the encryption. It's not CryptPad embedded in XWiki or the two talking to each other. It's just the same.
Okay, slightly different question. Is there some API or some means to integrate CryptPad into existing wiki engine that is not XWiki?
Maybe an iframe? yeah. Iframes are pretty cool. I don't know. We could talk more about what sort of integration you're looking for, I guess.
About feeding and getting stuff back.
Right. I think if we had those better command line tools, I mean, it's Node. Like, we build everything in JavaScript, so anything that could call a script could get the content, and then maybe that would be okay. If you want your existing server to be able to read the encrypted documents and pull them in, if that's what you mean, then... Yeah, but yeah, we could talk more about what that would look like for you. Yeah. Anyone else? I don't see any hands.
Yeah, okay, if there are no further questions, I still have one. I've seen your cryptpad.fr, so it's in cooperation with French people. I wonder... Do you know about the organization they call Framasoft?
Yes.
Are you working together with them? Because they serve like etherpads and spreadsheets, like same functionality.
I've met, I guess, the person who started it, and I mean, we end up at a lot of the same conferences, so we sort of know each other. We're not actively working together. We've talked about kind of what would it like... I mean, the thing is, we're both open source projects, so we both know like their code is available if we want to use it. Our code is available if they want to use it. We're not planning any serious integration, but I think we have a lot of the same goals in mind, just self-hosting and making it easier for people. But yeah, no explicit plans.
All right. So any more questions? I don't think so. Then once again, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is this...